bless your life. Hey, if you got your Bibles, let's turn to 2 Corinthians, where we're going to launch our talk off of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to talk off of verse 17. For those of you that are joining us new, we are in the middle of a series called The Invisible War Talks. And it's a series on spiritual warfare. And we're talking about how to learn to overcome and live in victory over the enemy in three areas: our heads, our hearts, and our homes. And this is the ninth week that we've been talking on the head, because how many know we got some screwed up heads, amen? And we need to learn how to have victory over the enemy in our mind. And we're wrapping up the mind here today. And we're going to be walking into the heart, and it won't be as long as the mind. And then the home, we're going to close the series with into the summer. And it's going to be some great practical tools that'll help you in your home. If you're single, you're married, you're empty nesters, I'm telling you, it's going to be a blessing to you guys. But man, as we wrap up the mind here today, let's launch off of this verse. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, the truth and the power of your word. And God, I pray that the truth and power behind every word, God, that you speak to us, Lord, I pray would come to life in our lives, God, as we go and strive to live out your word here. Lord, I pray that you would guide me, Lord, as just guide my mind, guide my words, as I simply strive to be an echo of what you're saying to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I heard a joke, and I want to share it with you. I shared it with my family, and they didn't laugh, but I have a feeling that's because they don't have a sense of humor, and I believe that you do, so I'm going to share it with you. One day, up in heaven, I already think it's funny here. Let's see. God said to the men, "I want you men to form two lines. I want one line to be for the men that were the head of your homes. And I want the other line to be for those of you who let the woman be the head of the home." And wouldn't you know it, the line where the women were the head of the home was literally miles long. And there was only one man in the other line. And God was a little perplexed at this. And he said to all the men, "Men, I'm ashamed of you. I created you to be the head. And only one of you stood up to make me proud." And he went over to the guy that was in the one line. And he said, "You know, son, how did you manage to be the only one in this line?" And he kind of looked at God confused and said, I don't know. My wife told me to stand here." Hear that? Hear that? It's funny stuff. The jokes are free here. Amen. I always tell people that ask about the structure of our home, like, you know, how's your homework? You know, I say, you know, I'm the priest of my house, but my wife is the boss of my house. You know, anybody got a home kind of like that, right? Kind of got two heads in the house. I thank God for my wife. I regularly thank God that I have a wife that is confident in who she is. Like, not like a cocky confidence, you know, where it just bristles. But I'm saying, like, she's confident in who she is because she was raised to know who she is. I'm thankful for my in-laws because they raised her to be just a godly woman. They raised her and installed in her values and what her perception is. Whew, I can't be getting that emotional that fast. But just, you know, who she is, and that you are a child of the King. You're a daughter of God. And she carries that confidence around in our home. And I got to tell you, it inspires my sons and I, you know, to believe the same about ourselves. And I want to dedicate this message, this last key, about how to attain and keep a victorious mind to her, because she really lives this out. And I'm telling you, this is a major key to living in victory up here over the enemy as we walk into the ninth key. Are you ready? the key that I believe, man, is not any more important, but it is as important as any key we've shared is this, is that we need to regularly remind ourselves of our God-given identity. Regularly remind ourselves of our God-given identity. Have you ever asked the question, who am I? Like, who am I? Like, who am I? Have you even gotten so bold to look in the mirror and go, who the heck are you? Like, who am I? How do you answer that question? Like, am I what I do? Like, if I'm a construction worker, is that who I am? Is that my identity? If I'm an accountant, is that who I am? Because that's what I do. Am I a teacher? You know, am I a parent? Like, is that what I am? Or am I what I've achieved? Right? Like income or possessions, or, you know, maybe you're in school, you got some trophies and some awards. Like, is that what I am? Or am I the things that I've done right? Or have the things that I've done wrong become the things that define me? Am I what others think of me? Am I all of those things, or am I none of those things? Who am I? You see, this is an important question to ask because it is a question of self-identity. And every psychological expert will tell you, how you identify yourself determines how you approach life. How you identify yourself determines how you approach life. So how do you find who you are? How do I find who I am? Because how many know that's a question that will breed a variety of answers from a variety of different people in the world we live in. In a world where everybody has answers. Everybody has opinions. Everybody has a voice, right? I mean, and people are going to tell you these things. Like, people are going to tell you, you are what you do. I mean, those are answers that people give you. That's how you find out who you are. You are, well, what do you do? Well, that's who you are. But if I am what I do, then it seems like if I live with that mindset, then I will always need to do more and achieve more to find my value. Like, I'll never be satisfied, so I got to do more. And I'll busy myself up so crazy because I find my value in what I do, and I don't think that's necessarily healthy. If I am what others say that I am, then I'm always going to try and please people. And I love this quote from Bill Cosby. He says, I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everybody. I mean, I believe that wholeheartedly. I don't think it's healthy for us to allow the opinions of other people about us define our identity. If I'm the things that I've done right or the things that I've done wrong, then I'm going to find myself living life like a roller coaster at an amusement park, because there are days where it seems like I'm doing everything right, but then the next day it can be a day where I'm doing everything wrong, and then my life's just like this, right? I don't think that's healthy either. So how do I find who I am? You know, I'm one of those people that believe there is one simple way to finding and discovering who I am. There is one simple way for you to find and discover authentically who you are. And it's this. His word. This is simple, friends. Because in this right here are countless scriptures. Well, I'm sure they can be counted, but I didn't have time to count them. I'm telling you, it would take me a long time to count the scriptures inside of your Bible. Scriptures that rest on the pages of your Bible that tell you who you are. That give you scriptures that give you through the very eyes of God your identity, and not only your identity, but the abilities that are afforded to you because of who you are. in the seat back in front of you, there was a half sheet flyer that was given that is available to you. I want you to grab that. And this right here is just the surface scratcher in the context of the scriptures that contain your identity. Right here, this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to your identity, who you are, what the Bible says about you. I am God's possession. I am God's child. I am God's workmanship. I am His friend, according to James chapter 2, verse 23. I am His temple, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. I am His vessel, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. I am His co-laborer. I am His witness, Acts 1:8 says. I am His soldier. I am His ambassador. I am His building. I am His husbandry, according to 1 Corinthians 3, 9. I am His instrument. I am His chosen. I am His beloved. I am His precious jewel. I am His heritage. We're just scratching. And the front and back is only just the tip of the iceberg, friend. I'm talking, there are so many scriptures that reveal to you who you are. That's who you are. And a major key to attaining and keeping a victorious mind is regularly reminding yourselves that this is who you are. I'm talking regularly. That means, man, take this thing. If you need to get more, we'll get them for you at the info center. I mean, take it. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your bathroom mirror at home. Regularly remind yourself when you wake up in the morning. How many think we'd be living in a little bit more victory in our lives if we woke up in the morning and just said those things right there? This is who I am. This is what I am. This is what God says that I am. This is me. If we start to regularly remind ourselves of that kind of identity, we're going to start realizing that victory is not that hard to attain, friends. Because we're going to show you how powerful it is to believe your identity. John chapter 10, verse 10, right? This has been a big theme scripture throughout this series on spiritual warfare, where Jesus kind of offloads the reveal on the devil and the intentions of the devil, and he calls him the thief, right? He says, "And the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly." Can you highlight those three words on the top of that statement? What does that say? Only to steal. The thief comes. Listen, this is his sole intention here. Like, he comes to steal. You know, if there's one thing I truly believe the devil wants to steal, it's your identity in Christ. I believe there are too many Christians walking around broke down, beaten down, suffering from identity theft. And that thievery of your identity comes through the evil one, through the enemy, feeding your mind thoughts that can only be defined as lies. Like feeding your mind thoughts as to say, you're not good enough. Or when you mess up, you'll always be a failure. You're always going to be in lack. Everything that is now will always be. You mess up too much. You see, I told you weren't meant to change. You will always be. How many know what I'm talking about? These thoughts of insecurity, these thoughts of defeat, these thoughts of lack, and these thoughts of hopelessness, these thoughts of bitterness, these thoughts of anger. The enemy comes, that thievery, right? He comes to steal our identity in Christ through feeding our minds these thoughts that I can only call lies. The reason I call them lies is because those thoughts I just gave you do not line up with what we see in here. And if the enemy can get you to believe his thoughts up here, if he can get you to believe that, then he's got you. Because now he has agreement in the control center of your mind. This right here is what runs the show. This right here is what creates your decisions. This right here is what makes those habits. This right here is what guides your day. This right here is how you view yourself. And if he can get you to agree with it up here, he's got you, friends. And how many know thoughts like that come quite often? Especially when we're going through a difficult time or season. I've watched people that live in victory experience a breakup, and because of the breakup, like their identity is found in the other person. My identity is in him and him alone. Nothing that happens around me changes who I am. I've seen people that when they experience kind of a slip up in something that they overcame with their addiction through the power of Christ, and they slip up, boom! I mean, they just drop off the face of the earth, man, like there was never victory in their life in the beginning. Because the enemy comes in and feeds you a thought, and you believe it. We agree with it, friends. Listen. The enemy wants you and I to live in the lie. The lie of unbelief. Can we just say that word unbelief together? Unbelief. He wants us to live in the lie of unbelief. Unbelief of what? Unbelief of God. Unbelief of His Word and what His Word says about you. Listen to me. Unbelief. And the only way, watch me here, the only way to battle unbelief is how? To believe. Belief is the weapon that battles unbelief. Unbelief is the weapon that battles belief. The choice is yours. Are you going to live in the belief of what God says about you, or are you going to live in unbelief as to what God says about you? And if you want to beat unbelief, start believing, friends. Paul recognizes this battle in Ephesians chapter 6 and shares the importance of knowing how to fight these kinds of attacks from the enemy. In Ephesians 6:16, he says, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all of the flaming darts. Another translation says arrows of the evil one. I love this scripture because I love the visual that it gives me when I read it. I think in pictures a lot. I always think in pictures. And when I read this, I get this visual, right, of me. And I see all this weaponry that God is affording me. And here in Ephesians 16, I see the shield that He's afforded me. And I see that God's asking me, you know, to use this shield. And I see like the night sky of my life being lit up with all of these flaming arrows that are headed my way. I mean, it's like I see the night sky of my life just being lit up, and the evil one and his armies are just sending these arrows, these attacks, these thoughts my way, whether they're thoughts of insecurity, you'll never be good enough, you'll always fail, or whether they're thoughts of lust, or whether they're thoughts of anger, or whether they're thoughts of bitterness. And I see what Paul is saying here. He's saying that faith is the route to extinguishing those and blocking those. What is faith essentially? Belief. It's a fancy word for belief. God is saying right here that if we choose to believe who we are, it is like placing your life and your mind behind a shield that will extinguish, what does it say? Which you can extinguish what? All. Didn't say many. Doesn't say some of them. It says you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Your belief does that. Don't tell me that it's not important to regularly remind yourself of who you are. Are you kidding me? My belief in who He says that I am allows me to become shielded from the attacks that the evil one sends to my mind. Don't become dissatisfied with who God created you to be. I heard somebody tell me one time, I just wish I was someone else other than me. And maybe we've all thought that at one point. But listen to me. You wishing you had the life of someone else is an insult to God and the masterpiece that He made you to be. He made you, friends. If you live your life comparing, and that's a lot of where insecurity comes from, right? Just comparing your life to someone else. If you live your life comparing, you will always see someone with more money than you. You'll always see someone with more opportunity than you. You'll always see someone more beautiful than you. You'll always see somebody more successful than you. And you'll start to become more and more and more dissatisfied with you. Listen to this bald, pasty white preacher, Journey Church. Remind yourself regularly, every day. Why? Because faith is a fire that needs to be kept continually burning. Remind yourself regularly, because as the famous 80s Journey song says, what? Don't stop believing. Why? Because we can often stop believing. We can often stop. Faith is a fire that needs to be kept continually burning. And every time you watch me when I use this word, remind yourself of who you are in Him. You are simply adding another log to the fire to keep it burning. Every time you do that, you're keeping your faith going in the direction of your identity in Christ. Remind yourself regularly of things like remind yourself that you were transformed by the power of God. Remind yourself of that regularly. I don't know about you, but I need to remind myself that regularly, because how many know sin is like a creeper? Right? It just comes up, man, like a velociraptor and just tries to attach itself back to your life. And you some of us, I mean, we seriously probably like, what the heck are you doing back here in my life? I thought I overcame you. I thought I was saved from you. I thought I had victory over that. What's that thing trying to do to come back into my life? And it's in those moments where even if you do mess up, even if you do fail that one time, that doesn't create your identity. That doesn't shake who you are. You need to stand right there in that moment, even if it's a moment of failure, and say, I have been transformed by the power of God. I'm not going to let my past come back into my today. I'm going to head into my tomorrow in the direction of where He called me to go and to be who He called me to be. I am not that. I'm better than that. I'm who He made me to be. Remind yourself regularly that you were transformed by the power of God, man. Hashtag empty tomb. Did you not see what we saw last week? We had the ability to see 1,367 people come on this campus last weekend. That's a great thing right there. But even more than that, to see the lives that were transformed on this campus last weekend. Some of them were you. I watch some people walk in this church like, you're lucky I'm even here type mindset. I'm just here because my aunt made me come. I'm just here because my grandma made me come here. You know, you're lucky I'm here. I watch people because I'll shake my hand. They're like, and I'm just sitting there like, all right, you better watch out, man. You're going to be a leader in this church. You keep acting like that. Like, you watch out. God, you better watch how you do that, man, because I'm telling you, His presence will come at you like Jaws, man. No, make you miserable. And I watch people come here like that. You know, we get that altar call in each of the services, and I just watch people, man, just reach out. People that didn't even want to be here, but they were reaching out, man, because they got a reveal after they saw person after person after person come up here and share how God has transformed their life, that their life was transformed by the power of God, and that empty tomb is symbolic of that, friend, and that they can experience it too, and they reach their hands out. I want it too! And I watched them experience that transformation. That was you, friend. Keep going. Keep reminding yourself of that. Because your past is going to try and tell you otherwise. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has packed up and left, and the new has come. Right? Come into your life like Kramer does in Seinfeld. Just come on in. Here I am, friends. I'm here. That's that transformation. I studied this in the Greek. Are you ready? In the Greek, they are a new creation. That Greek word for new means this. Are you ready? New. Meaning not like the old. Completely different. That means what has taken place on the inside of you after Christ is completely different, completely made new than what was on the inside of you before Christ. All that stank and that trash and that past and that failure and that sin has now been made new. And if you're not going to believe that, friends, you've been beaten, boozled. Jelly belly. How many have ever heard of jelly belly? How many like jelly beans? Come here, Danny Brooks, since you like jelly belly jelly beans so much. This is a box of jelly belly jelly beans, and on the front of it, it says Bean Boozled. Now, what it means by that is they have certain color jelly beans that they wanted to get creative about, and these same, like, you see, like, there are four, well, there are like two sets of two. There's a bunch of them here. So you got like these green jelly beans. Now, you got to be careful which one you pick. Even though they look alike, the insides are completely different. So you could pick one, and it could either taste like lime, which I like lime. Any key lime pie people in the room? Hallelujah. I haven't eaten breakfast yet. Or it could taste like lawn clippings. So let's start with that one. So because you're a guest, I just want you to go first. So you pick one of these green jelly beans, the bright green ones, and you're either going to get lawn clippings or lime, and tell me which one it is. I think we'll know.
We got lime again.
Dang it. Well, anyway, we know how the game works.
Whoa.
You understand how it works, right? We don't need to play.
The game continues. You get a turn.
Oh, Lord. Jesus, just guide my hand. That's lime, man. That's some good lime. Now.
So maybe we should do coconut, lime and a coconut, right?
No, we got to keep going on the lime.
Oh, just the limes?
Keep going. Come on, pick one.
Lime.
Dang it. Oh, my Lord.
Did it taste like lawn clippings?
The only way I can describe that experience was it was like my mouth was on the side of a lawnmower and just a bunch of grass got thrown in my face. Let's do one more.
I'm fine. I'm getting all the
fruits. One is juicy pear. Wait a minute. Well, let's do this one. Thank you so much, Corey. No, wait. Let's do this one. Let's do this yellow and white one. Yeah, these ones right here. Mm. One is buttered popcorn, and the other is rotten egg. Again, because you're a guest, I want you to go first. Wait, this one right here. This one right here. Yeah, you try that one.
No. Are these them?
One of those two right there. You got to get one of those ones. You pick that one?
I'm going to go with the brighter one.
Good. I didn't want that one.
It's either going to be super buttery or super
rotten.
Rotten.
Oh, my gore. How in the world did that work?
Oh, it's like growing in my mouth, though. Oh, thanks, Corey. I'm glad I got a bottle of water, too, man.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, I got a
toothpaste. Here's the point. You can taste the transformation. Literally. And what I'm saying is, what you see on the outside may look the same because you may look exactly the same than you did before, but I'm saying what's on the inside is completely different. How many know before Christ you were nothing but a rotten egg, but be thankful for the buttered popcorn that you are right now. Somebody give a praise to God. Amen? Somebody said, my God, you just made 2 Corinthians 5:17 come to life with jelly bellies. Amen. Welcome to Journey Church. Remind yourself, though, that you've been transformed, made new. You're no longer like that. Give me one more drink of water. Amen. Remind yourself that you were made in His image and His likeness. Remind yourself of that. Regularly. It's important that we do that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them in His image. That Hebrew phrase, we find in the Latin a phrase called imagio Dei, which means image of God. We were made with the image of God on us, the likeness of God on us. Why would we allow our lives to represent anything less? Do you know you were made in His image? I don't know about you, but that's a confidence booster. You weren't made to be like anything else. That Latin phrase, imagio Dei, the purpose of it is to show you your inherent value. Your value. A.W. Tozer, an incredible author and minister, said, the doctrine of man made in the image of God is one of the basic doctrines of the Bible. And one of the most elevating, enlarging, magnanimous, and glorious doctrines that I know. I've never heard of a man by the name of Ravi Zacharias. Incredible apologetic expert in the church today. You can hear him on 91.5 with his Indian accent. One of the most intelligent apologetic experts we have. And he was doing a teaching and talking about the story, a story in the gospel where somebody came and approached him and asked him about taxes. Should we pay taxes, right? And Jesus responds and says, do you got a coin? Give me a coin. Give me that shekel. Give me that coin. And he goes, whose image is on that coin? Whose image is engraved on that coin? And they said, Caesar's. And he says, then give to Caesar. What is Caesar's? Give to Caesar what Caesar's due. And Ravi Zacharias says, I wish that man had asked Jesus a follow-up question. I wish he had said, then what belongs to God then? To which Jesus would have responded, whose image is on you? Whose image has been stamped on you? You have been made in His image. His image is stamped on you. His likeness is stamped on you. You belong to Him. That's who you are. You belong to Him and He belongs to you. That's your identity. I mean, we need to wake up every morning reminding ourselves of that. Remind yourself that you are forgiven. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, God says, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I love this part, and remembers your sins no more. Friends, we have been forgiven. Did you know that the forgiveness of God soars far beyond just a loving act that Jesus did for us on the cross? The forgiveness of God has become our identity. You are forgiven, friends. And knowing that, we need to remind ourselves of that, because the enemy tries to give you the opposite, that you need to do all these things to earn His forgiveness and to earn His pleasure and to earn His smile on your life. Let me tell you something. There is nothing that you can do to earn what God has freely given you. Nothing. You can be as holy as you want, because Scripture says our righteousness is like filthy rags before the Lord, meaning there is no amount of holiness you can attain to get Him to be pleased with you. That means you can pray 26 hours a day, 9 days a week, 18 months out of the year. I mean, we got some people that give you the impression that's what they do. And it's like, man, all the time. You can memorize the entire Bible backwards and forwards. You can be as holy as you want and overcome every sin in your life and never experience it again. And that right there isn't going to make God say, you've earned it. He's forgiven you because of who you are, not what you do. He loves you, friends, because He made you to be loved. He didn't make you just so that you could serve Him. Oh, Lord, you know, just sing Him praises all the time. It's not, He didn't create you to be a human CD so that He could feel good about Himself, just so that we could sing. And, you know, He made you just to be His friend, to enjoy life with Him. He loves you, friends. And He has forgiven you because of that love. We've been forgiven. We need to remind ourselves of that. Because you know what that knowledge gives? It means knowing that you are entitled to a clean conscience. It's important that you understand that every day you can walk around with a clean conscience. And some of you really needed to hear that today. Because the enemy's trying to make you live your life with a guilty conscience. And God says, I've given you a clean conscience. Listen, since our sins have been put away and removed from us, we are justified. That means we have been made right with God. And you and I are entitled to a clean and undefiled conscience because of that work on the cross. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanses our consciences from acts or sins that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. That means you have the ability to experience every day a clean conscience. What you need to do is remind yourself, I have been forgiven by my Creator. That is my identity. I'm forgiven. My friend, if you're still beating yourself up over your past failures, which have been nailed to the cross, you are denying the work Christ has done for you. A clean conscience before the Lord agrees with what Christ has done in removing your sin and declaring you justified and innocent before the Lord. Remind yourself, you have been forgiven. Lastly, I mean, we keep going, but just one more reminder. I think would be great. Remind yourself that you are blessed of God. But you say, I don't feel blessed. You are blessed. I don't know how many scriptures there are. Again, because I didn't have time to count. There's a lot. To prepare for this message, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about you and I being blessed of God. Too many to count right now. And so often we don't think we're blessed because we so often focus on what we don't have. And God is saying, focus on what you do have. I love God throughout Scripture just sharing His love for His people. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, right, the Israelites, like, let my people go, Israelites, right? In slavery in Egypt, and then God set them free through Moses' leadership. Just those miracles, man, that took them through. But how many know it's easy for your past to creep back up on you and have that mindset? And God's saying, listen, stop living like that. You are blessed, man. He's telling him in verse 3, you are blessed in the city. You're blessed in the country. It doesn't matter where you are. You're blessed because of who you are. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. The crops of your land will be blessed. The young of your livestock, the calves of your herd, and the lambs of your flock. Even those little calves and lambs are blessed. Why? Because they belong to you. Your basket and your kneading trough. I don't even know what that is, but it's blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. I love verse 7. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. How many know God says you are blessed? I keep going, man, but I'll get too excited and high-five everybody in this room. God says you are blessed. We used to sing a song, man, back in the church that I first started going to when I was 15. Johnson Oatman Jr., called Count Your Blessings. Count your blessings, count them. Amen. We'll have some choir sign-ups after church. I love that song. See, so many people think, well, to be blessed means that you don't ever experience problems. I love what he says on this. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed. How many feel like that sometimes? The waves of life are just tossing your life. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, he says right there, even in that moment, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. That means even when you feel like you got nothing, don't believe that lie, because you do have something. God has blessed you with it, my friend. Let me tell you something. You need to be thankful for what you do have. Count your blessings and thank God for what you have, because what you do have is a blessing. And what that does is that reminder, when I keep that reminder intact, I will find that my appreciation and my love and the honor toward what I have already been blessed with today will end up attracting the blessing that God wants to give me tomorrow. Parents, I'm not at the home part of this series yet, but let me just say this now. When you believe who you are, your kids will believe who they are. Parenting is the greatest form of discipleship that we could ever be granted by God to have. Raise them in a home where their parents know who they are in Christ, because your confidence will become theirs. Just on the flip side, as easy as your insecurities can become theirs. See, when you're going through a storm, man, count your blessings. Count them. Scream out, thank you, God, for what I have. Thank you, God, I even have a home to shout to you from. Thank you, God, that I have clothes to put on. Thank you, God, that I have a breath in my body. Thank you, God, that I have kids to raise in the love of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, God, that I have what I have. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. I'm telling you, friends. Remind yourself that you're blessed. Regularly remind yourself of these. Keep these close to you. Put them on your bathroom mirror. Put them on your refrigerator. Keep them in your car. Put it in your pocket. Pull it out when you need to every day. And start to say who you are. Are you kidding me? You think if I started living my life every day, waking up saying this, going to bed every night saying this, throughout my day at times just saying this, I'm going to start to see what it's like to live in victory. Because I know who I am and I know whose I am. Don't let the enemy take your eyes off of the fact of who you are. I was going through some stuff. Sometimes, I mean, no, though, it's easy to let your guard down and just allow the frustrations of the challenges around you to be absorbed in your mind. And that's where the enemy starts to work. And I just started to go through some things. And I just watched this, even in preparation for this message, and I was kind of telling my wife about it, and I started getting choked up just thinking about it, how much this ministered to me. I've left the link for you even on the app so you can watch it at times. Maybe it'll minister to you the way it ministered to me, but when I was going through some stuff, didn't think that I was who God says I was. I watched this, man, and it transformed me. Take a look.
According to the Bible, I am God's possession. I am His child, His workmanship. I want you to apply this to yourself. You are His friend, His temple, His vessel, a co-laborer, and His witness. You're a soldier, an ambassador, a building, a temple. You're His husbandry. You're a minister and an instrument. You're His chosen, His beloved, His precious jewel, and His heritage. In Christ, you've been redeemed by blood, set free from sin, set free from Satan, set free from the kingdom of darkness, chosen before the foundation of the world, predestined to be like Jesus, forgiven of all your trespasses, washed in blood, given a sound mind, given the Holy Spirit, adopted into God's family, justified freely by His grace, given all things pertaining to life, given great and precious promises, given ministry of reconciliation, given authority over the enemy, given access to God, and given wisdom for free. In Christ, you are complete, totally in Him, free forever from sin's power. You're sanctified. You're fit for the Master's use. You're loved eternally. You're eternally kept in the palm of His hand. You're kept from falling. You're kept by His very power, and you're not condemned. You're one with the Lord. You're on your way to heaven, quickened by His mighty power, seated in heavenly places. You're the head and not the tail. You're the light in darkness. You're a candle in a dark place. You're a city set on a hill. You're the salt of the earth. You are His sheep. You're a citizen of heaven. You're hidden with Christ in God and protected from the evil one. You're kept by the power of God. You're secure in Christ. You're set on a rock. You're more than a conqueror. You're born again. You're a victor. You're healed by His stripes, covered by His blood, sheltered by His wing, and hidden in His secret place. In Him, you have access to the Father, a home in heaven waiting for you, all things in Christ, a living hope, an anchor to your soul, a hope sure and steadfast, authority to tread on serpents, power to witness, the tongue of the learned, the mind of Christ, boldness and access, peace with God, and faith like the grain of a mustard seed. And in Christ you can do all things, find mercy, come boldly to His throne, quench the fiery darts of the enemy, tread on Him like a serpent, declare liberty to the captives, pray always, chase a thousand, defeat and overcome the enemy, and tread Satan underfoot. And the only things you cannot do in Christ is be separated from God, perish or be lost, be moved, be taken out of your Father's hand, be charged or accused, or be condemned.
Man, I'm telling you, after just seeing that, and again, those are, you know, if that video even took the time to name all of who we are in Christ, we'd be here for hours. It's just the tip of the iceberg of who you are and what He thinks about you. I think there's some of you here today that are tired of living the lie and believing what the world says about you and the opinions of others and the challenges that you experience and the mountains that you face. And you're ready to start believing who God says you are. You're ready to stand behind that shield of faith that Scripture says will extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. And I want to tell you, we're ready to believe it with you. We want to be an encouragement to you. That's why this is just one way we can do it. Leaving you that flyer. You can take more if you want. Just believe it by regularly reminding yourself of it. I feel like some of you are in this room right now. You're saying, but I've messed up too much. Can I tell you? I text our leadership this morning. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, where it says that His mercies are new every morning. I think because God knows that we're wrapped in sinful flesh, and God, you know, understands the battle we face, but He wants us to understand something even more, like I've got new mercies for you at the start of every day. Like, so for those of you here right now, like, you cannot disqualify yourself from the love and the mercy and the grace of God. Like, they're brand new, ready for you to absorb today. And guess what? If you mess up tonight, when you wake up tomorrow, don't wake up defeated, because they're brand new tomorrow morning. Just absorb it. Walk in it. Breathe it. Live it. Enjoy the mercy of God. Enjoy His grace. Enjoy His love. Because those are the motivators, man, for me, that keep me going. Because I believe who I am. And over time, man, I just start to realize, like, man, when sin tries to creep up, it's like, no, that's not who I am. I'm not that. I wasn't made to do that. When I believe my identity, it changes my desires. It's like I said, the psychological truth, the self-identity, is what I believe about myself is determining of how I approach my life. So if you're going to believe that you're a failure, guess what you're always going to do? You're going to fail. You're going to end up subconsciously in a weird way desiring it. You're just going to expect it. But if you're going to believe you're more than a conqueror through Christ, guess what you're going to do through Christ? You're going to conquer. Self-identity's big. Can we stand to our feet? I want to ask our communion team if they would to come. I think this would be just such a fitting way to close this service today than with communion. We do it all the time. We do it every single service, for the most part, where we take a time to remember our Lord, where He says, you know, whether He was around the table with His disciples, with His followers. Anybody a disciple, follower of Christ, right? That's us. We're in the room here. And God says, as He breaks bread, He literally takes the bread and breaks it and says, this is my body, which is broken for you. Basically, what you guys are about to see, you're going to see me, you know, beat, broken. You know, when He's strapped to that post, He's saying, keep this in your focus, like, this is being done for you. For you. Not just being done to be done. For you. Can you close your eyes right now and just say these two words, for me? Can you say that? For me. Like, He did it for you. Keep your eyes closed if you would. Put yourself at that table where it says Christ lifted the cup to heaven, looked around at His disciples, His followers, and says, this cup represents my blood you're about to see spilled out. I want you to know that it's spilled out for you. Can you just say these two words, for me? For me. Every time you drink it, every time you eat it, He asks us to do one thing, and that's what? Remember that. Remind yourself of who you are. You see, what I find in communion is not just a time to realize how great God's love is, but it's a time for me to realize who I am. I am important enough in God's eyes that He thinks of my life so highly that He's willing to give His own for it. Because He said, for me, I do this. For you, He doesn't. Remind yourself. So what you're about to do here, we're going to have the ushers dismiss you from the front to the back. When you go and grab a piece of that bread or go grab a cup and you exit out the outer aisles to your seat, if you're with your family or loved ones, I would encourage you to do it together. Just take that time and before you go and just remember the Lord. And remember who you are because of whose you are. Amen? God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for how powerful it is. We thank You for the truth behind it. Lord, the truth of our identity is behind Your word, and I pray, God, that every person in this room would not only know it, but believe it today and begin to vow to regularly remind ourselves of it every day here on. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Journey Church. We love you so much. Worship with us as we dismiss. God bless you.